So no Assassin's Creed this year.
Oh, there's not.
Oh, you didn't see that? They released their, like, financial quarter results, and they're like, yeah, Assassin's Creed Syndicate had a pretty slow start, probably because, you know, all the competition stuff, but there's not going to be an Assassin's Creed this year.
It's going to do with the fact that no one played Unity, so why do we think they'd play another one?
Right. Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem with Unity. I mean, people bought Unity, and then it didn't really work, and they're like, eh.
Funny thing is, Syndicate's actually pretty good.
Right, that's what everyone says, but yeah, they're gonna take it. Yeah. It's kind of, I bet, like, 20th Century Fox is pissed because this December is, like, when their Assassin's Creed movie comes out.
Well, so there's still something.
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't really a joke in here, was there? Just actual news.
Yeah. The Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 11th, 2016. Why do I sound so low energy?
Yeah, come on. You just ate Chipotle. You should be all like...
Yeah, that's like the opposite of energy. That is like a downer. Oh my God. It's like if you could eat a beer. So yeah, welcome to the show. This is Mike Minani, joined by my brother. I have to get some green tea. Diet green tea. Hopefully that'll perk me up a little bit here.
Does it have caffeine?
Oh yeah. It's got tons of caffeine. It's kind of pushing my limits.
I don't think there's caffeine
in this tea. Mark. It has caffeine.
Tea can be decaffeinated.
This isn't.
I don't know.
I get jittery when I drink it. It has to have caffeine.
Let's see. No juice. No shock there. Low sodium.
Good.
I see nothing about caffeine.
It doesn't say anything about not having caffeine.
Well, but usually they put a disclaimer when something has caffeine, is all I'm saying.
They put a disclaimer when something you expect.
Oh, here we go. Caffeine content, 22 milligrams.
I don't know if that's a lot.
That's not a lot.
Well, good, because I can't drink much. This is, like, enough to get me, like, a... Look, I don't do well with caffeine. Screw you. Welcome to the show. What are we talking about?
Zug Zug. Blizzard's 25 years old.
Zug Zug.
So we're going to talk about Blizzard
games. What does Zug Zug mean?
It's
just, like, an affirmative...
No, I thought Dabu was.
Dabu.
I know Loktar Ragar,
Dabu's
or whatever
the, Dabu is the gambling game they play in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay. Loktar is life or death, or something like that.
All Loktar, right. I'm tired of this conversation.
For the Horde.
For the Horde. Mm-hmm. I miss being Alliance. I miss the Alliance. Freaking Horde. Anyways, we'll get to that. Turn off your goddamn Apple Watch.
No, shut up.
This show is a disaster.
Picture of my children just got sent to me.
Whoop-de-doo. All right. So yeah, Blizzard turned 25. On a Monday or so, or
something like that.
Yeah, not too long ago.
This week.
So, we're going to do a little Blizzard focus show here. To start that off, did Blizzard mean anything to you before Warcraft?
I was just going to ask you that. Was Warcraft 2 the first Blizzard game you ever played?
You know, I don't know if this is just us, but to me, like, Warcraft 2 is like a Street Fighter 2 scenario where, like, I know there's a first one.
Yeah. Well, I think I can vaguely recall when I was a kid playing Blackthorn on somebody's Super Nintendo.
Blackthorn.
So, I think that was technically my first Blizzard game.
I think I rented The Lost Vikings once. And didn't like it. I never played, like, Rock and Roll Racing.
I played Rock and Roll Racing after the fact. It's actually a pretty sweet game.
Yeah, but, I mean, though, for me, like, Blizzard was very strongly associated with Warcraft 2 specifically. That was a big deal game.
Yeah, it was my friend Paul who got me into it. He had it and told me I would like it.
That was my first introduction to real-time strategy also.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we weren't playing Command & Conquer or at Dune.
No, we've been Warcraft kids.
Right, and but yeah, it was a big deal time. And I always kind of just, like, I was always very bad at, like, winning Warcraft, even, like, the campaigns. But I was, like, building my base and, like, sending my guys to, like, the gold mine. Like, I'd just, like, get ridiculous. I'd have, like, this stream of people going to some gold mine across the map, just peon after peon.
Well, the funny thing is for me, because I didn't get into Lord of the Rings until high school. Really, I think Warcraft was the first kind of fantasy property I ever got into.
Yeah, it was kind of
like, that's
early.
Where I discovered I kind of like that whole... You know, knights and magic and orcs and
yeah,
all
kind of
that
like
stuff.
That and Final Fantasy. But even like the Final Fantasy we played was 6, which wasn't super heavy on like traditional
you didn't
fantasy
have, like, elves and shit.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, in a way, yeah, this is definitely probably my first introduction to orcs as an idea. And how about those CG cutscenes, huh?
Woo-wee.
So, but Warcraft 2 was like, I just remember it was a big deal, you know?
I mean, and that was the game, because remember, Battle.net didn't come till after.
Battle.net edition was
so to play it online, you had to jump through hoops.
Right, but this
there was all kinds of like third-party programs that would simulate the TCP/IP connection you needed.
Right, but LAN play was even already kind of a thing on this.
Oh, it was in there, yeah, for sure. Yeah. People are beginning to do that. Yeah, but it is hard to believe. More often than not, you did that support direct dial? Where you literally, and Paul and I did this a few times, where I would call him and say, okay, when I hang up, you put your computer in answer mode.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to dial your number, and it's going to connect our modems directly, and that's how we're going to play Warcraft
online. Online gaming was pretty difficult back then.
You had to actually get on the phone and call. Wow, Jesus. Isn't that funny?
It's so weird to think now.
And how many, when did that come out, 95, 96?
Like 20 years ago? It was really that backwards.
Yeah.
That's weird, huh?
Yeah, think of that.
It's so weird.
Think of that.
It's like one of those games I just like remember playing at like friends' houses and stuff. We just do it, but so yeah, so then after that was Diablo 1, which, Diablo 2 is really when I really got into. Diablo 1, I think I was a little young. I kind of thought it was scary.
I beat Diablo 1 back in the day.
I did. I thought it was scary.
My buddy Paul was the entry point for a lot of my early Blizzard games, and he kind of stopped playing games at some point. But yeah, I just remember going at my buddy's house. We were all scared of the butcher.
Yeah,
we were
terrified
very scared
me.
Of the butcher because he comes out and does this whole fresh meat thing. Right. You're like, oh, it's the butcher.
I hadn't really played a game that was that scary, you know. Even though it wasn't really like a horror game, but like on like a console, you really didn't have the fidelity to get that moody necessarily.
Well, that and it was real time. You know, most RPGs you play
there's
at that
a sense of urgency.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of panicked and trying to move and fight and do everything and. Really, the first game I could think of playing that had the procedurally generated, dungeons and everything like that. Like, that was cool.
Mm. And StarCraft, which, again, I remember being a very big deal, because this is the one that had Battle.net, right? It had online multiplayer. I don't know if it was called Battle.net.
Was Battle.net introduced with that? Yeah, it must have been.
I think it was just
because that came out before Diablo 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then, yeah, it had to be. StarCraft and its expansion, Brood Wars, which we should, quick aside, Blizzard's always done pretty good expansions.
Yeah, which,
Warcraft
2 had Dark Portal. Diablo 1 didn't really have...
What was it called? Dark Portal?
Beyond the Dark Portal.
Yeah, that's
what I meant. Okay. Diablo 1 had, like, unofficial expansions. Like, it never really had a good Blizzard one, right?
No, it never did. StarCraft and Brood War really kind of elevated that game's multiplayer. You know, the new units.
What I liked about StarCraft was it was basically Warcraft in space in some ways. But I liked how it was kind of the first time where we saw them like the factions weren't just mirrors of each other.
Right, they were asymmetrical.
They were very different.
Very different.
The Zerg were like all weird. The Protoss were kind of weird. It was cool. And again, the multiplayer stuff was really important. This was one of the first PC games that had a really big modding community, too.
Mm-hmm.
The bare bones of what would eventually become Dota and the MOBA scene started here.
Mm-hmm. Well, they gave you that map editor, which was...
Right,
which
the map... That wasn't even called modding. It was map editor is what was happening.
Mm-hmm. People just kind of figured out ways to manipulate the rules to start trading some of these things.
Man, this is also when I started realizing I was just not any good at RTS games. This has always been my Achilles heel of a genre.
Well, my problem with all RTS, and we've talked about this, is I like to build things and not people. So I kind of try to, turtle, which just doesn't work in an RTS
anymore. I think that's why... it doesn't at all. Especially, the problem is, I have some friends who are, like, really good at them, so it's like, I just can't play them.
Mm-hmm.
And, at some point, it becomes about just knowing them. It's not really... Like, I like it because it's kind of an organic thing. Like, what am I going to do here? When you're really playing it, you know your build order.
Yeah, and it just became kind of rote memorization execution.
Right.
Which I can never quite...
It's probably why
with.
I... Yeah, but I do just like building things. It's probably why, I played Rock Coaster Tycoon a lot.
Yeah, and, Civilization.
Sure,
lets you do that.
Exactly, yeah. Turn-based things are fun. But, this was a very big deal. But then the next game was probably my favorite Blizzard game for a long time was Diablo 2.
Yeah, that game. Oh, my God. How many times have I just played through Diablo 2?
Right. That was just a presentation-wise, a great game. The story was super cool. It was, what's funny is I remember, because this game came out in 2000, mm-hmm. I think. I remember at that time people criticizing just because it didn't have, 3D polygons.
Thank God it didn't,
because it ages so much better
of it. Absolutely.
There are people at the time just saying, how dare they not?
Yeah, right? It's thank God it doesn't look like Wildstar.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
You know?
I mean, it looks better than freaking Warcraft 3 now, probably.
Warcraft 3 kind of holds up.
I think Warcraft 3 holds up more in your head than Warcraft 3 holds up.
Probably.
I think when you think of Warcraft, you picture like League of Legends graphics.
No, I picture.
But anyways, Diablo 2, yeah. But
Diablo 2, and then its expansion, which, you know, added two classes.
That was probably the best expansion.
Phenomenal fifth act in the game.
But yeah, but what I liked about this game a lot is, again, you had, like, it was a pretty large class selection. It was just so much fun just to play as all those different classes. Five in the base game, and then seven.
Two more.
Even Diablo 3's expansion only added one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are two. You know, the assassin was already, but the druid was a really neat class character.
Yeah, because he was cool because his trees were so different. Whereas the shape shifting was a more magic use.
Yeah, but I did really like that. Like, there was a lot of replay value because, you know, you would do different trees and stuff. That's the one thing I maybe miss about Diablo 3 is, like, you have access to all the skills basically whenever. Mm-hmm. Whereas each thought like, you had a tree and you would, like, be cut off from things, like, which was kind of neat in a way. But the problem is you find, like, online what the best one is and you just kind of...
Yeah, or, like, you realize too late you made a mistake and now you have to scrap this character.
Sure, right.
But Diablo 2 also introduced the concept of the hardcore character.
Yeah.
You know, once that character dies, that's it. Remember, it was weird because since it was early days of Battle.net, there was, like... Because Diablo is always... very prone to hacking. It was very easy to edit your character and give you whatever you wanted. So there was, like, open online, and then there was closed Battle.net only, where your character was actually stored server-side.
Yeah, and you couldn't use, like, your single-player characters for multiplayers. Like,
no, you could use your single-player character in the open.
Right, that's different.
So that's, like, you just play that with friends because you knew you guys weren't cheating.
Right.
Or you were cheating and you didn't care. And then the open Battle.net was just
so much item duping.
Oh, tons of item duping.
But, again, but it was a very big game. It was actually epic. There was a lot of acts to it.
That was the first time, really, like, I mean, even though Diablo 1 had it, they refined the loot system with, like, you know... The kind of random elements that go in, like, you know, the of the whale and all
see,
that.
See, again, like, I don't remember the specifics about Diablo 1, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if
Diablo, Diablo 1 have, like, armor sets and stuff like that.
I don't think so. Because I can remember, you know, calling my buddy Kip, who was also very into the game, and, like, you know, you found a shield and you called him, you know, this was before Twitter or Twitch or anything, and they'd be like, oh my god, let me tell you the stats on this helmet I got today. It's amazing.
Priorities.
No, he once on his way to my house almost got into a car accident. Apparently a pretty bad one, potentially. That was the second thing he told me when he arrived. The first thing he told me about was the shield he got that day.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I almost died. Yeah. But anyway, it adds 6 dexterity. I'm like, wait a minute, backtrack a bit here.
I just felt so good when I beat Diablo in that game. To me, mm-hmm. It was like such a hard thing. Even though it's hard just on normal, like today it'd be a much easier thing. But back then I was like, yes. Yeah, Diablo 2 is great. This whole kind of Diablo 2 on for a bit here. This is kind of the golden era for me in some ways.
Yeah,
maybe like at least the nostalgic era maybe is the way to put it. Because then you have Warcraft 3, which as much as I don't like, I'm not, but I'm not good at RTS games. This is probably my favorite one.
Well, Warcraft 3 is cool because that brought about the whole idea of hero units, which brought a little bit more RPG to it.
Now, do you remember a little bit more, and again, a big precursor to MOBAs.
Do you remember the original pitch for Warcraft 3?
It was 3? Mostly going to be heroes.
They referred to it as a role-playing strategy game.
Right.
Where you literally only ever had, at most, 12, 15 units.
Right, and that didn't really
It was so fun. I can remember reading articles where, like, we're pushing more polygons than Quake 2. Goofy shit like that they were saying at the time.
But no one does that anymore, like, directly, like, cite, like,
the number of polygons.
But there's not, like, that one game anymore. Like, it was, like, Crysis for a little bit. That was maybe the last one of those ever, huh?
Yeah.
It's, like, that one game that everyone knows is the best-looking game.
Maybe Witcher 3 a little bit now, if you're going to talk about open-world games.
But I like that it added that sort of StarCraft element where humans and orcs were kind of similar, but the undead were very different, and
the Night Elves were different. You have 4 factions, which is crazy.
And it just, this was the first of two where, like, the lore to me of Warcraft was a lot more interesting, I think, for a lot of people than just, like, kind of like something you read in the instruction manual. Like, the story presented was really interesting. And these are some of the best cutscenes, too. Like, you really mm-hmm. got attached to these characters world and all that stuff. And you know, did a good job of making the orcs a bit more sympathetic and all that.
Oh, yeah, that's when they realized, because the orcs were always kind of portrayed as bloodthirsty brutes.
Yeah.
And Warcraft 3 is really where they kind of, like, said, okay, like, they can be good guys in their own way.
Right. But, I mean, just so many iconic characters just introduced in that one game. I mean, Illidan and Arthas and Jaina and all these, you know, kind of people who helped kind of sustain this franchise in a lot of ways.
So Warcraft 3 came out, was that my senior year, I believe, because... the summer between senior year and freshman year of college, Everybody got their laptops that they'd be taking to school, and you didn't need much to run Warcraft 3, you know, which was kind of always a staple of Blizzard games. Like, they'll run on almost anything.
Yeah.
So, I somehow got my hands on a 10-port hub. Everyone brought their laptops to my bedroom, and we literally just sprawled around my bedroom. I went on a laptop playing huge LAN games of Warcraft 3 for, like, a summer. And that was... It was kind of cool because, like, everyone was, like, going to different schools. So, like, this is, like, the last chance we were going to get to hang out. Like, that's what we did for, like, 2 months. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with that.
And another really good expansion with the Frozen Throne.
Yeah, I never finished the single-player campaign of that one.
I remember because one time I had my friend over. I just wanted to see the ending of it because I didn't beat the campaign. Like I said, I'm off all these games. So, like, I just beat it so I can, like, see the ending. And we did it in your room because that's where the computer was. You, like, walked in and saw what you were doing. You freaked out. Instead of, like, going outside the door, you ran to your bathroom, which is on the other side of the room, and just, like, locked yourself in, like, plugged your ears and started going a lot like a child.
I'm not saying I don't deny this. I don't remember.
I remember it quite vividly.
Apparently.
Me and my friends love to tell this story to ourselves still. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Of course.
This was the epitome of your, like, no spoiler era where it, like, got too out of control. Oh my god. But yeah. But I remember were you surprised back then? I remember back then I was, like, surprised they didn't add another race. Remember, because they showed the Naga in, like, the trailer. I assumed that was, like, the new, like, base-building race.
Oh, yeah. They were just kind of like that, guys.
I assumed that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, 4 is already a lot.
Yeah, I guess.
For an RTS.
There's one more than StarCraft.
It's true.
So, and then right after that is the kind of the big one is...
what game is that,
Mike? World of Warcraft, man.
Okay, so... Remember those first teaser images for World of Warcraft?
I remember the first teaser trailer.
The images
they were. I remember the images.
It was just like, I used in that video I made when I graduated high school. With like, it was like the planet and the sunrise, like a shot from space.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, so
oh, yeah.
2002 is when that was released. Mm-hmm. That was the first tease of
it. Well, they were teasing this game with Warcraft 3. Or at least Frozen Throne. Yeah, Frozen Throne, I think. The DVD for... Like, the special edition for Frozen Throne, like, the cinematic DVD with it, had the first, like, cinematic-only trailer for World of Warcraft. Or, like, two, yeah. Had that. Remember that first cinematic one? It was just for the trailer. It wasn't, like, ever used in the game. It ended with the shaman, and you always got excited. You're like, I'm gonna be a shaman.
Why can't I remember this?
And then I remember they had the in-game trailer. I remember the in-game trailer mostly because it was really showing off the feature that they didn't even put in the game where, like, the characters' heads would look at things. And it ended, it just ended with a night elf looking at, like, an ancient. He was, like, looking up at an ancient.
Oh, I remember that. Okay, I can remember that.
Right. But I just remember, even at the time, it was kind of a big deal, but also kind of it was like a novelty. Like, oh, Warcraft, like, EverQuest, okay.
Yeah, like, could you ever imagine what that game would become?
No, I remember playing the beta at my friend's house, just rolling a night elf for fun.
Yeah, he was the only one of us who got into the closed beta, so well, that was the first time.
He had his ways, too.
Yeah, that was the first time we ever saw that game running. Man, I was telling my wife this, actually, the other day. Beta World of Warcraft compared to World of Warcraft now, it's so weird. Even just like the UI,
so different. Just God, the hunters had ammo.
Hunters had ammo.
Skill trees.
Tauren were gonna have plane striding instead of using mounts.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just so many just like weird things here or there. There wasn't PvP yet.
No.
There was not really much of any, but. But even then, at the time, I was like, oh, this is, like, so cool.
Well, because I played a little bit of EverQuest. Again, my buddy Paul was into it, so he let me try it. And it was so obtuse.
I mean, I played a little bit of EverQuest. More than that, I played, like, Dark Age of Camelot, I remember.
But did you ever play...
And Astron's Call, I remember.
I played both of those. They weren't too bad. Did you play EverQuest before they patched it so that, like, it was literally... A 2D frame on the outside that had all your UI, and the game window was this tiny viewport.
I kind of remember,
yeah,
weird.
Like that was EverQuest,
right?
Not long before this game came out,
right? But
well, EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft came out
the same
year,
and it was really funny because I remember articles.
Everyone was like, "Oh, EverQuest 2 is going to bury Blizzard's MMO."
Yeah, to date this even more, I can remember reading on GameSpy like their comparison pieces, like which one's going to win.
And yeah. Oh, I don't know. EverQuest 2 is fully voiced. I mean,
yeah, that
World of Warcraft's done.
But yeah, that was crazy that was a talk.
So, what was your first character in World of Warcraft? Can you remember?
Oh yeah, my dwarf. I still miss him. My dwarf hunter Giru. I loved them. Funny story, there's a my friend Dave, the same Dave, he played World of Warcraft a lot. He was really into it for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a hunter, a Night Elf hunter. He drew a picture of our two characters, like a sketch, and like the, for like in art class in high school. In high school, we liked it. And it's still hanging in the administrative office of our high school right now.
That's right.
There's a picture of my World of Warcraft character in our high school's office.
That's funny.
Right. But no, I loved being a dwarf. I still remember that, you know, that first starting area. And then, now my favorite starting, like, kind of area, because after that you go into that Cosmodon, or not Cosmo, or like that, you know, the first big snowy area where Ironforge is.
Yeah.
I just remember like looking around like, this is huge, and like seeing Ironforge inside that mountain, just like, I'm gonna go there. And you go inside, there's this like ridiculous city in there. It's just so like that first sense of discovery, which you can never really get back in a way, but like at the time I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, because my first character was an orc shaman, as you kind of alluded to. And so whenever I name fantasy characters, I kind of have like a pool of names I use now, but I would just literally mash the keyboard and delete letters so I could pronounce it.
Yeah.
So I came up with this name, Draethar, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good for an orc. And then like a week later, I'm like, wait a minute, like the original orc shaman's name is Drekthar? Ah, crap.
Yeah, it was like, close.
How'd that happen? But I stuck with it. But yeah, same thing. I can remember, you know, you're going through the through Durotar, you're going down this canyon, and then there's like the giant gates to Orgrimmar, and you're like, huh. Oh, there's like blimps flying around and shit.
I remember like taming pets. I remember there was one rare, like there's bears in the air, but there's only one white bear. So like I just camped it for a while so I could tame it, and it was like hard. But like when I did, I had this like white bear as my companion like for years as I was playing that game, and it was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just start with a pet and you can like tame more if you want to.
Yeah.
But it's great. But it's the interesting thing too is like that game was so successful that Blizzard didn't really make anything else for quite a while.
I think they were like, shit, like,
they had to put everything
we have to all hands on deck for this game.
No, I think it's exactly what happened, because I'm sure Diablo 3 would have happened much sooner than it would have.
Oh, sure.
Because, yeah, Diablo 3 kind of took a while, relatively. And, because then it was, first expansion was
Burning Crusade,
and then not long after that, Wrath of Lich King, you know, there's already, what, six of them now, or the sixth one's coming out?
Six.
There's six now, and it's like,
yeah.
Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria, Warlords of Draenor. There's five. The sixth one is...
Six. I was counting the original release, I guess.
Right. So, and they always done a good job kind of updating that game and adding things. And there's three periods where I played it a lot. Vanilla, which I played it a lot leveling. I never, like, raided or anything. Raiding was so hardcore back then.
Oh, yeah. You had to get 40 people. It had to be 40.
Right. It was ridiculous. I played a lot during Wrath of the Lich King.
Mm-hmm. That's when you were the most into it, I'd say.
I might have been... Well, I think I was actually more into it this most recent go with Warlords of Draenor. Because it was a little different. Because Wrath of the Lich King I raided, but it was kind of just like a group of people online. It was nobody I really knew.
Mm-hmm.
Warlords of Draenor was like all friends that I was playing with. And so it was fun.
That was... Warlords of Draenor is the first time I ever reached max level.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you have to kind of count that I use my boost to 80 as well, whatever it was, or boost to 90.
You've never seen every level in that game.
No, I've barely touched Draenor and Burning Crusade. I did like nothing in Wrath of Lich King.
You played Draenor. You mean Cataclysm?
No, like Draenor, like Burning Crusade.
Burning Crusade. That's yeah. Draenor. I thought you meant Warlord.
No. Pandar,
Outland, AJ, Outland.
Whatever, yeah, sorry.
But get the lore right.
I mean, I would always play the new races, I'd play the new classes, mm-hmm. get them to level 20, you know, play the Death Knight starting area. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of an altaholic, you know?
Yeah, you are.
I was very good during Draenor, I just played that one character. I think the boost to 90 in that was a very smart thing.
Like, I'm kind of, like, I stopped playing Giru, but I made, like, my level 60 or 55 Death Knight. You had to have a character at least that high level to do it.
Yeah.
So like it's like you were kind of transferred to that, and I've been using that Death Knight ever since.
Well, I did grind up to 55 before Lich King, so I could make a Death Knight.
Right, but not the 60.
No.
Remember what 60 was the max?
I one day did get Draethar up to level 60, and I was like, I did it!
Yeah.
Of course, by that point, the level cap was 80, but
right,
whatever.
But hey, no. I was a Draenor. I always liked the Draenor, and I kind of miss it. I had to, like, do a faction change and be a troll just so I could play with my friends.
Because they're all Horde.
Yeah, they're right all Horde. Freaking Horde. But yeah, World of Warcraft, it's always fun. It's always, you know, if that game ends tomorrow, people are like, oh, World of Warcraft died. that game was such a big hit.
The game from 2004, you still play with any regularity.
We're talking about how, like, you know, Cars came out in 2006, so long ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft's run is ridiculous. But then finally they made a new game, and it was Diablo 3, right? That was the next one, right? That was the hardly.
No, StarCraft. StarCraft 2. No,
Diablo 3 is first. I guarantee Diablo 3 is first.
I need to check. I don't know.
And this is the game I was really looking forward to because, like I said,
When did Diablo 3 come out? Oh, it picked up you saying, because, like I said, I went
to... Well, you should...
Diablo, Wikipedia.
What is going on now? What have you done?
This is Siri.
Oh, my God. Why did you just not Google it like a normal person? Penny, shut up.
She's not even barking at me. She's barking out the window.
Yeah, because...
this is original Diablo.
Just Google it, asshole.
I am Googling it. Shut up. Shut up.
Aunt Siri.
Shut up.
What is this thing about? Ow, it caught me.
Diablo 3 is May 15th, 2012. I remember this because I was actually on the road for one of my documentaries, but I was like, it's a single-player game. I'm going to play it on my laptop. But, like, it had to connect to the server, and I was on, like... We were like a days in somewhere with shitty Wi-Fi, and I couldn't play it because of the lag. And I was losing my mind. I was so pissed off. StarCraft 2, July 27th, 2010.
Damn it.
Hey, loser.
StarCraft 2 weird release, I guess, really messed me up.
It was so confusing because they were like trying to be like, we're breaking it up into three, but they're not expansions, and they're going to be independent games, but they are expansions, and you require the last one, but you won't.
I tell you what, when they announced it, I thought it would all happen much sooner than it did. The last one just came out.
Just came out, like a few months ago.
So, kind of weird. So, StarCraft 2 is next, which I don't know about StarCraft 2. My issue with it is it's kind of just a pretty version of StarCraft 1 with, like, some new units and stuff, but, like, it wasn't, like, WarCraft 2, WarCraft 3, you had the new...
much of the single player?
Yeah, I beat the campaign for the first one. It was good. It was the first one I was able to actually beat.
Well, because it's not just...
It's not just, like, AI opponents.
It was, like, there was, like, weird, cool objectives to it.
Yeah, but I get... It's, like, there wasn't, like, a new race or something. It was just... It was kind of similar.
I'm surprised that in all the StarCraft 2-ness, they never did feel the balls of being, like, a fourth faction in
there. I think they really... Because StarCraft 1 was so popular, I think they really just kind of wanted to, like, make it like that and not scare people too much. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, too. You have to talk, and we should have said this, like, StarCraft in Korea, really, I would argue, is the birth of the modern-day esports.
Yeah, it's kind of... A lot of that started there. But, I just haven't really gotten into StarCraft 2 a whole... I would play it here or there. But, again, this is like me accepting I'm not that good at RTS games. Again, like, one of the things I liked about WarCraft 3, like the hero units, its lore. I liked WarCraft's lore. StarCraft's lore doesn't really do anything for me.
I'll tell you what, going back to StarCraft 2, after playing so much Heroes of the Storm, you know what's the weirdest thing to me? Is that, like, so units all have, like, one or two abilities, but, like, they each have their own hotkey. Why isn't it just ability 1 is Q and ability 2 is W? Like, I wonder if there's, like, a mod that does that. Because that's the hardest thing for me. Because, like, you have to use those if you really actually want to win.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, crap. Like, is the heal H or is it L for some reason? And, like, what's the cloak button for these ghosts? Like, I don't know.
But, Wings of Liberty was the first one. Okay, and then Diablo 3.
Yes. We'll go with that. So there are two distinct phases of Diablo 3. Yeah, because
everything was, like, okay when it first came out.
It was great. It was fine. You know, you played the story. You're like, oh, it was fun. Now what? And it's like, okay, play the story again on a higher difficulty. Okay, yeah, like we used to. And you're going to hit a brick wall that you cannot pass unless you go buy something in the auction house.
You know what's interesting to me, too, about kind of Diablo 3's, like, story is its presentation almost just kind of felt like, like, Blizzard's, like, stuff was becoming homogenized in a way. Like a Diablo 3 cinematic wasn't very different from a World of Warcraft cinematic.
Like, stylistically.
Right. Whereas to me, like, Diablo 2 and, like, StarCraft and WarCraft 2 were, like, very different. Especially Diablo. Like, Diablo was just very much...
I think that was more because they were trying to get photorealistic and the tech limited them and that turned into an art style.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. But, like, maybe this is, like, me being younger, but, like, Diablo 2 was... Like I said, Diablo 1 really scared me. Diablo 2 kind of was, like... creepy. Nothing about Diablo 3 was scary.
No.
Nothing about it was slightly terrifying.
No.
And its story I still don't like. I think it had problems of being bad.
It's got the whole thing of the bad guy shows up, says, oh, you'll never stop Plan A, and you stop Plan A.
It's kind of like,
well, Plan A was just a distraction. Plan B is where I'm really going to get you, and you stop Plan B.
Look, that guy was a loser. I didn't have faith in him.
Yeah, it's like, what was his Asmodan in Act 3 was kind
of... It's like comical in a way.
Yeah, it really was. He just kept showing up like, oh, I'm going to get you this time. It's like Gargamel.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the story didn't quite hit me. But, I mean, the basic game was fun. The new classes were fun. It's just the loot system was a drag.
Literally.
Yes.
Yeah, the auction house was just the worst idea. Always online was
stupid. But then they fixed it with the new loot system. And then this game had, like, it's, like, in terms of, like, expansions that, like, fix the game, Reaper of Souls was did a lot of good.
Yeah.
To kind of, the fifth act was the best act in the game.
For sure. Adventure mode is great.
Adventure mode's great.
What a great way to add replayability to that game.
My only complaint with it really is that you had one new class instead of two like you had in the Diablo 2 expansion. But I still think that's because, at least I'm hoping, that there's going to be another Diablo 3 expansion at some point.
That would be nice.
Right.
That would be very nice.
Diablo 3, like, at first it was like, okay, but now I like it a lot. I'll tell you what, the console version was a big
thing. Yeah, what a shock.
I love the console version of that game.
I might prefer it to the PC version.
It's like a surprise, like, most fun couch co-op game of this generation. Because
there was a console version of Diablo 1.
It was awful. It was like replicating point and clickiness.
Yeah, with the analog stick.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great because it's just like, like Gauntlet.
Diablo 3 and couch co-op is phenomenal.
I played through the whole thing with three friends. It was great.
Yeah.
It's super fun. But, Diablo 3 is a winner for sure. It's going back to Starcraft 2, it is weird how there were 6 years between World of Warcraft coming out and, like, their next actual game, 2010.
Now,
the opposite's kind of happening because, 2010, Starcraft 2, 2012, Diablo 3. Probably not like 2013, 2014 or whatever was
Hearthstone.
Well, I was going to say the other Starcraft 2. I don't even know, but yeah. So
whatever.
But yeah, then Hearthstone's 2014. I play it so much. I played Hearthstone today. I played like
now, again. That was like this thing where it's like, what they're doing? What now? Magic the Gathering?
This is kind of like the first, like, we're doing like a smaller game kind of.
And you're like, oh no, make Warcraft 4. Don't waste your time.
And I'm like, oh, I really like Hearthstone.
Hearthstone's pretty good. It turns out.
Oh my god, I play Hearthstone more than any other game these days. It's ridiculous how much Hearthstone.
It's great because you could play it in 10 minutes and go about your life.
Oh my god, I really like Hearthstone, but yeah, and I've been giving it so much money. But yeah, we talked about Hearthstone a lot, but that's a good. It's kind of a fun way to leverage a property without necessarily making a full game, but also not making something like, it's not like when like Uncharted had its card game and it was like this cute little thing.
Yeah,
like there was a lot of effort into this.
And what's also fun about Hearthstone, because Warcraft as a universe has always had kind of like its dark, serious stuff and like the goofy shit.
Right, and this is like
it just embraces the goofy shit in a way that makes sense, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just like. It's just such a... Like, the presentation is so much fun. Like there's other, like, competitors, but they never feel quite as good when, play a card.
Yeah, there have been so many digital card games, Pokemon, Magic, all of them. But yeah, this just feels visceral in a way they don't. Like, things have weight.
Right. Well, this is, like, kind of real... I mean, there was those Magic digital games, but, like, this, like, really kind of started, like, almost a new genre where there isn't really... a big competitor yet. Like, you see things like
Soulforge,
and Magic, like, made a new Magic game to kind of compete with this more Magic Origins or whatever. But yeah.
Even that, like, that game, like, we talked about it. Like, it just feels sterile compared to Warcraft, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just not as much fun, yeah. But, that's Heroes of the Storm.
I love Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm is great.
Heroes of the Storm is great because, like, I never ran into, you know, original Dota. Barely knew what it was. We had a period where we were playing League of Legends.
Yeah, a little
bit. Like, for 3 months there, we were into it, but, like...
It got hard.
It's hard when a match takes an hour.
Well, what I know about League of Legends is, like, I'm constantly alt-tabbing out of it to look at a guide online to see what item I need to buy next or what skill I should level up next. Like, there's, you know...
My monitor.
It's almost like, with RTS, it's like, you have to just memorize build orders, and it's like, okay... But the only negative thing you kind of say about Heroes of the Storm, it's more of a Me Too thing than usual from Blizzard, just because.
But I would argue that
they had some call to it, but they didn't actually make like a MOBA.
No. But I would argue it's Me Too to like League of Legends and Dota as World of Warcraft was Me Too to EverQuest and.
I guess so. Maybe
you know, like you take.
I guess the difference is that you know, World of Warcraft immediately obliterated anything, whereas Heroes of the Storm isn't as popular as League of Legends.
It's what Blizzard got good at, where you take this established genre that has appeal, but a high barrier of entry, and you're like, okay, how do we make this accessible without, like, dumbing it down? And I know, like, the hardcore League of Legends is like, oh, Heroes of the Storm is for babies, but...
Remember when this was really just going to be like a mode inside StarCraft?
Yeah, it's like going to be like a mod that Blizzard, they just released.
Blizzard Dota All Stars. They kind of got a little bigger with it. Yeah. And then so now we're going to come to the next thing, Overwatch, which I'm so mad I'm not in the beta right now.
I'm in the beta.
Overwatch is so much fun.
Overwatch is amazing. So since the closed beta started up, hey, look, we're transitioning in our week in gaming.
Oh yeah.
No,
wait. It's not our weekend game. It's a special zone. Get it right.
Isn't it both?
We don't have our weekend game.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, screw you.
Special zone. Oh, see? I got you on my side now. It was a test. Pass.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I
named it.
Did
you? Loved it.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you take that away from me.
I just got really into
don't
it.
Don't you take that away from me.
The big thing they added, well, a couple... new game mode, Control Zone, which it's not like when you think like Team Fortress Control Zone. It's three rounds, best of three, and there's just one zone. You fight for that one, someone wins, and then you move on to the next one. But they've added the progression system to the game now. So you just have an account-wide level, because they don't want to attach it to specific heroes or anything. Mm-hmm. Every time you level up, you get a loot crate that has four items in it. It's all cosmetics. And these items include, you have spray tags, like remember those from Team Fortress?
Oh my god.
Tags are in the game. You can unlock new voice lines for your heroes to say. Skins.
See, yeah, I think in like animations you say like victory
animations. Yeah, and like these victory animations, you could preview all of them. They're so fucking
cool. I think this is good because it's nice to have some kind of progression system, but I also don't want like a Team Call of Duty thing. No, I don't want a Call of Duty thing where it's like, you know, you have to like... get the level 8 to get the gun you want. You know?
No, but I said Team Fortress 2 because like they start adding like actual guns as loot to the game, but like you just got them by pure luck, and it was kind of
weird.
I didn't like it. That's honestly when I stopped playing as much TF2 when that happened.
Does TF2 not have like a vanilla mode where it's just like the base?
I have no idea.
I don't think it does.
You play the 360 version.
Well,
but yeah, so. I've been playing a shit ton of it the last two nights, and here's what I think speaks best to this game. I don't think I've actually played as everyone just yet, but I have yet to play as a hero in that game. We're like, well, I'm never playing that person.
Right.
They're all fun.
Yeah, they're all really,
fun.
Like, you already have your favorites, but it's going to be fun to kind of keep trying them. It's going to be interesting to see how like this game's received, if it becomes like a big deal at all, if it becomes an esport or anything like that.
It certainly has potential, because it's...
I mean, keep in mind, like, Team Fortress 2 is in an eSport.
No, I mean, I think
this Counter-Strike is.
This has, like, eSport hooks built into it a little bit more. Plus, the way that they're classified as heroes and not classes.
Yeah.
Even though functionally it's kind of the same.
And functionally, they're much more like a Team Fortress 2 class than, say, a...
Dota class would be. But for some reason, because they're called heroes... it makes them feel more important.
Right, because like, a lot of people still kind of like almost expect this to be a bit more MOBA-y than it actually is.
Yeah, I'm surprised it is very much. Honestly, it's kind of Team Fortress 3 in a way, which shocks me that no one else has done this between TF2 and now. You know?
Right.
This like kind of cartoony, character-driven shooter.
What's weird is that you have the Gearbox is making like their Battleborn or whatever, which kind of looks like Overwatch.
No one gives a shit.
Poorly timed.
No one cares.
I think that's more MOBA-ish. I think
so too.
Which I know.
But what I love too. Again, Team Fortress 2 did this as well, where like so much of the story of these characters is told through gameplay, just with like they talk to each other.
Yeah, just a little.
There's clues in the game world, like in the environment.
It's like it's a good looking game too. Very colorful and fun.
Oh, and I love this too on my computer. I was like, all right, let's set the graphic. Okay, let's turn it to ultra. Hey, we're getting 60 FPS. Great. Wait, what's Epic do? I'm still getting 60 FPS.
Oh my God. Yeah, I need to see
it. It looks real good. It's such a great game.
It's fun.
I love the soundtrack too. The music in that game is so great. I'll tell you what's funny. Have you actually read the lore for all the characters on the website?
Their
backstories?
No.
It's kind of like bright and optimistic as the game seems. They all have some pretty dark backstories.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, that game is... So with that game coming out now, I tweeted this the other day. Through Battle.net alone, I now have access to an MMO, an RTS, an action RPG, a MOBA, a card game, and a shooter.
They've done a really good job kind of diversifying, especially like in that period where it was sort of dominated by just World of Warcraft.
Like, unless they make a football game, like, what are we missing?
I will say the vast majority of my PC gaming is Blizzard games.
Yeah, me too, for sure. It's kind of funny.
They do a good job.
Good on them. Yeah. I mean, this is the closed beta for Overwatch. It feels more polished than most game releases do. It's now, really astounding.
Sometimes you can get burned out on a beta. You think that's going to happen?
No. I'll be playing this a lot. I'm really enjoying it. It's hard to put my finger like why this clicks for like other shooters don't. Maybe because it like the aesthetic makes it feel a little more fun.
Well, I think
it's not so dour.
Me and you always liked Team Fortress, and I think you know kind of something like that is good. I mean, I like Team Fortress too, but it did kind of lose me. Somehow with you know, it's just one of those things that kind of kept evolving in a way, and it's not necessarily bad, but it's just I couldn't keep up after a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I ever had as much fun in Team, like, I like Team Fortress. I don't know if I ever enjoyed it as much as like I enjoyed Team Fortress Classic back in its heyday.
True
with like, you know, Rock 2 and Canal Zone. Mm-hmm. And
well, you like Capture the Flag, and TF2 de-emphasized Capture the
it
Flag.
It did. The disappointment first, but then it kind of got me back with a
Payload.
I liked Payload,
which is in Overwatch. Right,
straight up in Overwatch.
In fact, there's a great map.
That's like when I was like, oh my god.
There's a great map where objective payload, one is capture the point, and then it turns into Payload.
Payload's a good mode. I wasn't a big fan of like Team Fortress. At first, Team Fortress 2 like really emphasized those capture zones. I didn't like that as much. That's why I'm a little worried. Like, you say that's like the new thing in Overwatch. I'm a little wary of it, but...
No, I think it works really well. Because, like I said, it's not like an open map where it's like the push and pull. Right. It's just 1, 2, 3 rounds.
All right. Well, anything else? Because
I have a question for you.
I don't know.
You can only pick one.
Oh.
Which one do you wish you could play more? Warcraft Adventures or StarCraft Ghosts?
Oh, Warcraft Adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two canceled games. I was sad
there's been
Adventure
more than that, but...
I was more surprised that StarCraft Ghosts didn't happen.
Sounds like they
made a big deal about the thing.
Well, because they outsourced the development. That developer fell through. They outsourced it again. Yeah. That developer fell through. They were going to do it themselves. And you realize it wasn't officially canceled until 2014.
Yeah. It's funny because, that seems to be the problem. It's like, whenever they outsource something, they're just not happy with this. So I don't know why they do it.
Yeah. Because
that's what led to Warcraft Adventures. They weren't happy with the animation they outsourced.
Mm-hmm. I thought it looked good.
That's all right. So,
I think the problem was, too, like, it was supposed to come out the same year as Grim Fandango. And they're like,
yeah. So was it fun. But it's weird how, like, that character, like, well, the lore points are still so important.
You know, the game did leak.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can go online and watch someone play the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
You must be able to download it.
Somehow, I'm sure.
Alright, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We always appreciate that. Thanks, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Zum, zum.